This OA meeting is a speaker meeting. The speakers will share on steps 8 and 9 for 10 minutes. Today's speakers are Jacqueline R., who will share on step 8, and Makita Y., who will share on step 9. Jacqueline, would you please unmute and share?
Hello, everyone. I'm honored to be with you. Okay. Step 8, made a list of all persons he had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. I will begin with the speaker's prayer. HP, open my mouth and fill it with good stuff, and close it when I've said enough. My name is Jacqueline. I'm in recovery today by the grace of God and the help of the fellowship. My abstinent date is August the 4th, 1989. My top weight was 250 pounds, and today I'm in the 130-pound range. This workshop deals with Step 8's part in this miracle. The principle behind Step 8 is self-discipline, but it just as easily could be forgiveness. It takes self-discipline to change the things we admitted to in steps 4 and 5, and the character defects we uncovered in steps 6 and 7. Step 8 continues us along the path of clearing away the wreckage of our past. To do this, we need to see how many people we have hurt and in what ways. The Alcoholics Anonymous 12 Steps and 12 Traditions book, pages 77 to 82, explores this step along the following lines. We have been sick people dealing with other sick people. Pride and fear make us want to drop the whole endeavor. But recovery demands a deep and honest search of our motives and actions. We must get down to causes and conditions of our addiction. For me, it was lying, cheating, and stealing to get food because I could not or would not deal with life on life's terms. My choice set off a chain reaction of sadness, contempt, and/or vengefulness on other people's part. Once the realization hit, no area of life could be neglected when doing step 8. Home, school, work, family, friends, neighbors, community, if we are to clean up the mess we have made of our lives. The Overeaters Anonymous 12 Step and 12 Tradition book, pages 57 to 62, masterfully brings the point home as it relates to our drug of choice, food. If we are to remain abstinent and find recovery, we have to face ourselves, dig out what our patterns of compulsive eating have done to harm ourselves and others. We write a list of those we have harmed, keeping in mind this parameter. When we consider the definition of harm, have we ever dealt with another person in a similar way? The list includes all those we have hurt, even if they hurt us first. We remember that hurt people hurt people. My favorite part of the chapter is the discussion on forgiveness. If we are struggling to forgive, pages 60 to 61 are an invaluable resource. It instructs us to think long and hard about situations that have been bedeviling us. We are to think, write, share with trusted fellows, and pray during this ongoing process of uncovering and discovering circumstances that threw us off track so that we can get back on track and move forward. My favorite part of the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book is on page 417 in the fourth edition, which reads in part, "There's a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and we each have a right to be here. When I complain about you or about me, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I'm saying that I know better than God. This passage can free us from fear of the process, perfectionism, guilt, shame, and all the things that kept us running to the food. In conclusion, I urge you not to just read, but to study Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, pages 76 to 84, for your transformation. Also, routinely read pages 86 to 88 for direction on leading a life in ongoing recovery. Also, consult the indexes for Voices of Recovery and For Today to look up pages on step 8, self-discipline, and forgiveness, to see how others just like us have been readied to take that all-important step 9 and receive the promises included therein. Above all, I urge you to pray and to keep coming back no matter what. And if no one today has told you that they love you, let me be the first. Thank you."
Well, thank you for that inspirational talk. I'd like to now call on, I think we go straight to our second speaker, Makeda Y.
Thank you. "May direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 9. I'm Makeda, and happy to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 9. So some, just a brief background information, just a bit about me. So my connection to OA started in the late 80s. I attended meetings for about a year. I was young. I came in, I wanted to lose weight. I didn't lose and I say lose because I found it again, right? I did lose some weight. And I got down to where I thought it was really, I was happy about it. And what happened is that I began to quickly regain that weight. So I came in and I heard about the program. I was excited because it was all about losing the weight. And so when I got in and I got the big book and was told about the steps, I immediately said, no way. Not doing a step. I'm not letting anybody get in here, right? And then I had chosen the field. I went to college for a field, for you know, I was in a field that I helped people, right? So I can help people, but I'm not accepting that help. I'm not letting people get in here. Mm-mm. So I dieted with support for about a year, like I said. And then I left, and then after I began to pick that weight back up in the rooms, I left. Frustrated and demoralized. So I went back into the streets and did my own thing for some time. And I, you know, I would try different things. You know, I tried the diets, I did over exercise, and I took that up, you know, took that up. And actually, I did injure my knee as a result of all the banging on it. And so Yeah, that was one of the things that happened. So in 2011, right, I was like emotionally spent. I was not at my top weight. Life was coasting along. Very traumatic things had happened before, but it wasn't happening then. But what I noticed, what I realized was that I was just burnt out. I was drained, and I was emotionally just like, just that type of thing. And plus my knee was hurting really bad. And so I knew that I needed to get some help. And I thought about retrace your steps and go back to OA. So I came back in. I got that gift of desperation, and I've been a member of OA since then. And so I have a lot of great gratitude for being a member of OA today. I've always pro I back in the day, I prided myself on not being a joiner, right? I don't join stuff. I'll just, I may try to do something else but not join, but I was happy. I was eager to get back into the rooms. So I experienced continued growth and recovery, even through the ups and downs. On page 164 of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous big book, it says, trudging the road of happy destiny. And so that's definitely relatable to me. So in OA today, I found freedom from compulsive eating and related behaviors, right? And so I use the big book as a textbook. And so, and this is in contrast to before when I first came into OA. Well, I said that I wasn't even trying to use any steps, right? Not to any meaningful degree. So over time, I became more willing. And so today, after I, had some more ups and downs, and I got that willingness to follow the big book as precisely as instructed. And that has been very helpful to me. And so when I follow like a big, follow it as indicated, and I use the steps, I live in the steps and take it as my medication, right? So this allows me to live in a spiritual solution. And while relying upon God of my understanding, that's another gift. I got the God of my understanding. So prior to in growing up, I was relying upon the God of someone else's understanding, and that really didn't work for me. And so, yeah, I would have the bumps and ups and downs even within my spiritual, leanings or my religion. So then, while so when I rely upon God, right? And not trying to run the show today, or using food and my self-will as my solutions to living. So what I found out is that in working and living in these steps is that the food is not the problem. It was my solution, along with the obsessive thinking and behaviors, right? So I just needed to get an idea, yeah, and I need to get a stronger solution. And that's the spiritual solution. So, and that's because I'm a chronic compulsive eater. I have the chronic compulsive eating, crossover from what do you call it? That was once a cucumber, not a pickle. There's no going back, but I can go through. And the way that I go through OA, these steps gives me a way out. So moving forward. So, I'm beyond all the human aid solutions, if you will. All the things that I tried in the past, like the diets and the food plans and the over-exercising, and I even went to therapy for something very traumatic, and that helped really well for that. I would sit in therapy though and say, I need to go back to OA because I was still like just obsessed with life and with the food thing. So I just realized that just having that chronic obsession, that's the way that I'm wired. I need this spiritual solution. So and so also what I found is that, oh yeah, the seat of the illness, right? It's a mind-centered illness. And it can manifest in different ways because I'm also in recovered codependency, right? When I say recovered, that's from this hopeless state of mind and body, not cured. I get a daily reprieve based upon maintenance of a spiritual condition. So, and that's a lot of hope. That's a lot of hope. So it's a mind-centered illness. So that means that because I can't defend myself against myself. My will, as relates to this obsessive compulsive illness, is not strong enough. So I need something stronger. So that's what that means. I can't defend myself against myself. So in illness, my thinking and behaviors were off, right? that were distorted, and my relationships looked lopsided. They were often drama filled. You know, I would either cause the drama or I would add to it. You know, so it was always, and so then those trying to control people, fixing people, you know, again, run the show, you know, I was out of control. And that was my normal, though, right? So when I was, and then, you know, one of the things that just I recall is that when I was wrong, I would not say or apologize. There was nothing, I was not doing that. So yeah, so I would not apologize. My mantra was, you know, I'm right even when I'm wrong. So, and it's page 82 of the big book says, I'll personalize and say I was like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. So true. But yeah, life was complicated. And the other thing was, is that, I would have this part of me. And then the other part of me I'm very loving and compassionate. And that would make things even look even weirder at times, right? Because I would go into the other, you know, other side of things. People would say, why do you think like that? Why do you behave like that? And again, that was my normal. Just like using the food as my solution was normal, right? So now about amends, making amends and righting my wrongs, right? I found it very powerful. I'm learning a lot about humility each time I make amends. So with no more half-hearted apologies. You know, something like, I'm sorry, I did such and such, but so the big book lays out how we do amends. And let me just get right to this. It says, I want to give an example of an amends that I did in that experience. And so a friend, I'll call her Deborah. Deborah, I want to make an amends for my out of line, unkind, and controlling behavior. Right? When talking to you about your new car, I was being selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. What can I do to make it right? So I just show up with that willingness. I keep it simple and to the point. That's the amends. And then, you know, and what essentially what was happening, I was running my mouth, giving unsolicited advice, and however valid I thought it was. I thought I had some good points. That's something that I do. I was like, it's good points. But no, but it was not my business. So I needed to make an amends because she was hurt by it. And then after I said my part, I listened. I got to listen. Also, very humbling. And in doing that, she was really happy about it. And then after we did that, we went on to the girlfriend talk. And so I'll say after I made the amends and I listened and she expressed herself, we were able to move forward. She was happy about it. And then this was something that was starkly different in the past prior to being in the steps. Is that I would automatically be mad at somebody. It was just like, we're going to have a fractured relationship, you know, but today is different. So I do my part and trust God with the outcomes. So before making amends, I talk to my sponsor, and I find that very helpful because I get to get the input. And also I get to determine if I need to make amends because me, on the one hand, nope, I'm not doing any apologies or making amends. That's the, you know, my old behavior, right? And then on the other hand, I want to apologize or make amends when it's not needed. So I get to sort that out. So making amends because that can complicate things too. So just, you know, that's just me being of extremes and how I'm wired. So yeah, the you know, because in making amends too, you know, when I do it like that, I do it for ease and comfort. Because I'm disturbed and I want to do some image management, if you will, right? Some image management. I don't want to look a certain way. I don't want people to think, look, you know, be critical of me or anything like that. So I have made unnecessary amends. And then I get to show up and be of maximum service or help to God and those around me. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Makeda, for your experience, strength, and hope. So we're open for Q&A for the speakers. We are open for questions at this point. We have a question.
It says, I've made my amends in another program. Do I need to make them again in OA?
My name is Jacqueline. And my answer to the question is, life is ongoing. You may have made amends to people before in another program, but inevitably we hurt people in recovery. So if you did make your amends in another program, know that the credits are not transferable. You don't have to go over what you've done already, but if you have done something that requires an amends since you did your step work, by all means, do the amends. Thank you.
Yes, I would concur with that. And so I would just say also add to that is that just talk to your sponsor, right? And that's the great thing about having a sponsor is that you get to toss these things over to them. And so the other thing about, because I've worked steps in a different program, and I looked at those, I was able to look at the amends, everything, you know, the resentments and all that. I get all of that, the four step, and then looking at the amends, I was able to look at that again. And sometimes, like, you know, there's more clarity. I got some clarity maybe around one thing, and I was able to go, you know, I was able to go back. And as Jacqueline said, as time goes on, things, you know, something else can occur. So I would just say that's why it's good to do that inventory, see what pops up, see what it looks like in this moment today, and talk to your sponsor and go from there.
Thank you for that clarity. We have another question, which amends our own, correct? Do I have to do what the other person requested?
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater. Michaela made a very good point. Consult your sponsor. If they say, I want $1 million or something outlandish, say, I'll get back with you. And then talk it over with your sponsor. I always encourage people to do bookends, to talk with me before they go and to talk with me after they come back. Thank you.
No, so I read somewhere years ago, I think it was Bill or something, he said, we are addicts, if you will, right, or compulsive eaters, it doesn't mean that we have taken leave of all our common sense, right? We still have sense. And that just, I just picked that up from that. And then also, so what that looks like for me, and because I thought about that, and I was like, well, what would if somebody had a request that seemed outlandish, you know, or out off the cusp of what it is that we were talking, you know, in line with the amends, it's reasonable, for instance, for somebody to say, okay, well, you see, what can I do to make it right? Well, next time, just if you know, like I talked out of turn or out of line, just in the future, just don't give me advice if I don't need it. You know, if I don't ask for it, just listen to me. Or, you know, it could be something like a family member, I made an amends. I said I was inconsiderate around something and I wasn't there for them. Well, thank you. And we're moving forward. So we'll just, you know, why don't we you just, you know, work on just being, you know, like mentally, emotionally here now. Now, somebody says, I would give me $1 million. Does that sound reasonable? You know, so I don't know, really know what to do with that. It's like, yeah, just like Jack, I'm like, I'll get back with you on that, you know. I don't know, you know, that's a good one because some people, you know, some that may happen, but that doesn't sound like that's in line with the spirit of the men. So I probably, no.
There's another question. In making your amends, how did you approach those you were making the amends to?
Jacqueline, in a spirit of humility, not groveling, but owning up. I believe that in disease, I was very immature. So when I got into recovery, I had to take responsibility and be accountable. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I have this, that I write it out ahead of time because I'll get to that if I, you know, left on my own. So, hey, I need to make this amends. Or I would like to make an amends. And this is what it is. So it's already clear. It's short. Exit is to the point. And I say my part, and then I listen. So yeah, just gonna go in the spirit of that willingness and humility. That about covers it. And it's good to have it written out. That I know that helps me a lot to already have that laid out in that very pointed way, not an essay, but just a couple of lines about this is what it is, because I was told by my sponsor, people already generally know what it is that's happened. And if they don't, we don't try to figure it out or try to do the meetings like, okay, I want to just make sure you know everything. No, say what I need to say, very pointed, and then let them ask questions if they need to. Say, hey, what are you talking about? So I've had somebody to say, I forgot about that. I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, and before I did it in this fashion. So that kind of this in this fashion, I found it just clear. It was clear. But just listen out. If a person has a, you know, it's like it's a conversation. So they'll ask if they're not understanding. But that humility, that's all. You know, leading them with that, that works. That helps.
All right. Thank you. Would it help my abstinence to make an amend to myself?
Jacqueline, some people say your name does not belong on the amends list. But in our literature, we say that our name does belong somewhere on that list. And we've done a lot of harm. I can tell you, my feet, my knees, my hips. I put 100 pounds more stress on all those body parts. And they let me know about it. So I do try to do better now. And that's my amends to my body. And as to things I've done wrong to myself, the steps are the best remedy. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline. Yeah, so that I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, definitely. Ate over all that stuff, right? Keeping all that stuff in, and it, you just all, like I said, yeah, that is going to go somewhere. It's always in my head. So making amends just, it definitely helps to clear out. It's just a part, it's about the cleanup part, because, you know, done a lot of stuff, and it transforms my thinking. And again, I like the word humility, but yeah, I would eat over that, or have eaten over all kinds of things. But yeah, and definitely making amends to myself. I was told that the big book talks about, we don't make amends to ourselves. We talk about harms we've done other people. What I would also say with that, it was just like Ms. Jacqueline just said, is that we make amends. I make amends as, you know, and just that process of healing and growth in my recovery by working these steps and living in these steps, right? You know, just because, yeah, that fits. Yeah, so we... So that's a form of a amends or atonement to ourselves. Mm-hmm.
How can you tell if an amends is empty? How are you triggered by your HP or your intuition to check yourself?
Well, Jacqueline, compulsive overeater, we do sometimes fool ourselves. It is possible. But that's where the sponsor comes in. If we do bookends, talk it over with them before we go, make the amends, and tell what the result was, then we can discuss how honest were you. How real were you? And things like that.
Yeah, those the men's list comes from the inventory, right? So when we look at the harms that we've done, and so when we look at those harms, part of that inventory, that moral and fearless inventory, right? Thorough inventory. So an empty amends for me would And it has in the past because I've done empty or just insufficient or just trying. I've done it back in the day. And it just didn't give me that clarity. It just really did. It didn't hold up as well as the way that I do it today. And then if I do make an empty amends, right? If you will, we say empty amends, that can lead to just holding on to resentment. Because that's, and then guess what? It says that resentment is our number one offender. It's worse than it, kills, and that's chronic because I'm almost in my head. It's like, yeah. So yeah, again, just talk it over with your sponsor. We just go from a point of rigorous honesty. Consult with our God or higher power, greater power, first and foremost. And just go in that, yeah. And that will, having that willingness.
Thank you. I've heard speakers say that the amends doesn't include an apology or explanation of why I did the thing. Is that true?
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater. Different sponsors tell sponsees different things. But I think what the sponsor was trying to get away from was an empty amend. We are to keep it short and sweet, but we are supposed to say the harm we did them. And we are supposed to make an attempt to make things right with them. We can't just say, I'm sorry, and let it go at that. Thank you.
Yes, that's key. Righting the wrong. That's much different than an apology. Much different than an apology. And for me, that was, before that was like empty, because I would say, hey, I'm sorry. Well, sorry about what? Sorry when I made you mad. Like, okay. But, and so what is the end point of that, right? How am I going to clean that part up? I didn't have any concept of that. And often that would still make the relationship skewed. So just finishing off. But just, like you said, just keep it, very simple. Just say what we did. Some people, just to the point. And again, listen for the input. Listen, let people ask their questions if it's not clear, right? Because we are having that conversation, as I said earlier. But yeah, it's different than an apology, because we're, just like you said, we are righting our wrongs, cleaning up our side of the street. Yeah.
What if I owe an amends, but the person was really abusive and I'm conflicted about contacting them?
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater. Part of the process is prayer. Prayer in steps 4 and 5, prayer in steps 6 and 7. We are to make an amend for our behavior. We're not concerned about their behavior. So if you are reluctant to go to somebody, pray, 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 and keep praying until that reluctance is gone.
Yeah, the amends is ours to make. Yep, for real. And I've had that where I've had, tenuous relationships with a couple of people who I made amends to. So what I did, though, it was my, again, going back to cleaning up my side of the street. And I just prayed, right? I go in with prayer first, right? And leaving, so the thing is, leaving the outcomes to God. Because I was, just, so if I go in and try to figure out how I'm going to do this, we're not talking about someone who, we're going to make sure that we're safe, in terms, generally speaking. But, I'm saying, but we leave, just me, for me, I've learned is just leaving those outcomes to God. God, we go in with a genuine heart, being honest and having that willingness, and it will play out how God intends for it, a greater power, higher power intends for it to play out. The recovery is ours, not that other person. So it's my recovery. So I'm responsible, and I need to attend to that. And part of that is making those amends, and it comes out as it's supposed to come out.
I want to jump the amends to get it over, but I understand the spiritual principle is self-discipline, and it's about the journey to get there. but I feel it will take too long.
Jacqueline, compulsive overeater, your recovery will be set back if you jump the amends process. So you're not making things shorter for yourself. You're making things longer for yourself. Thank you.
Exactly. That amends, part of it for me, the amends for me, just like the inventory, which is like breaking down that story that I carry in my head. And I have this like this one story that originated somewhere, and everything in life that reminds me of that one story, I just carry it on as a thread, and it just builds. And then it just keeps the obsession going. So to break that down, it's incumbent upon me to make these amends, just like it was incumbent upon me to do that inventory, because just like Ms. Jacqueline said, the recovery out is a setback. And I did experience that because I hadn't done all the, you know, because I didn't do a thorough job. I didn't, the willingness, yeah, because I carry all that stuff. And it just, like I said, it just festers and it hurts me. And then in turn, of course, it hurts other people. Yeah, it'll stunt the growth. And they say to stop growth is what will just grow, will regress. And that's dangerous for a person who's chronic or beyond the human aid, right? Can't manage it ourselves.
Thank you for this very stimulating Q&A, everyone. All my OA sisters and brothers.